the option to pick your dad, if you would have had the option to pick your dad, what kind of dad would you pick? Well, I truly believe that if we were given that choice, most of us would pick a dad, I believe, like Joseph. Now, I realize that he was the stepdad, if you will, for Jesus. But I believe as I read in Scripture, and if you think there's someone who gets almost no credit in the Christmas story, I believe it's Joseph. But I see in this man Joseph, we're going to look at some things about Joseph tonight, specifically in Matthew chapter 1, if you have your Bible and want to turn there. But we're going to look at some things about Joseph, and I've entitled the message, A Mature, Balanced Stepfather. Now, one thing we know about him in preliminary remarks, he was a poor man. It appears that him nor Mary had any resources, because somewhere around the 40th day after Jesus' birth, you know, they went to the temple for the days of purification and to present Jesus to the Lord as the male child was to be presented to the Lord. And you had an option. You could offer a lamb as a sacrifice, or you could offer a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And the turtle doves and the two young pigeons were those who did not have the resources to buy a lamb. So we kind of given a clue there that they were not people of many resources. And then secondly, we know that he was a carpenter. Matthew 13, 54 to 58 talks about that. Speaking to Jesus, someone asked, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" So he was a carpenter, poor man. And most people believe, and this is a little bit of supposition here, but most people believe that Joseph was older than Mary. Now, we said this morning that Mary was could have very well been in her teens, or probably most likely was in her teens. Now, that's a bit of a range, but a young girl, and she was willing to surrender to the Lord. But Joseph, most people believe Joseph was a bit older. And if you notice, not a whole lot is said about Joseph in the life of Jesus. As best as I know, as best as I recall, the last time he's mentioned is when Jesus was 12. Jesus stays at the temple and they go on after a feast there in Jerusalem, and they're like, "Where's Jesus?" And he's mentioned there, but there's no mention of Joseph at the cross. So most people believe that Joseph had died by the time Jesus went to the cross. Most theologians would believe that. We don't know for sure, but we would suppose that. But in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, we're going to talk a little bit about this man named Joseph, the stepdad, if you will, of Jesus. It says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." So we're given an account of what happened before the birth of Jesus. What led up to the birth of Jesus? "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together." Now remember, we should have this cemented in our brain a little bit. The way that they did marriage back then, it was like a 1 year. The closest thing that we would have to it would be an engagement. But an engagement it can be pretty easily broken. I mean, you may know of people, maybe in your own life, you was engaged at one point, but they broke it off, and it was kind of like no big deal. But in this society, it was like a one-year betrothal or engagement, if you will, a spousal period. And they were even called husband and wife. But they had never come together physically to consummate the marriage. But they were to be faithful to one another. But you kind of got that picture in your mind? So that's where we are. It says, "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," his mother would be Christ, mother was espoused to Joseph, "before they came together or consummated the marriage at the end of that year, she was found with child." Uh-oh. But then it explains it, "with child of the Holy Ghost." Now, if you remember this morning's message, that was what the angel Gabriel proposed to Mary, that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. The power of the highest is going to be present here, and you're going to become, have child, the Christ child, the Messiah. So verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, husband. See, it says her husband. See, they hadn't consummated the marriage. They weren't officially, married, had not come together, consummating that marriage. But husband, being a just man or a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily or privately, we would say today. So in his mind, he's pretty much thinking, I'm going to do something private here. Can you imagine the heartbreak? I mean, because in his brain, he was thinking that my wife, what we call wife now, before we came together, now she's pregnant, so she must have messed around with somebody. You can imagine what that would do to your heart, right? Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, I like that. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, this angel, Mary, it wasn't a dream. The angel just came right up to Mary. God sent his angel Gabriel. Here, the angel is not named, and it says appeared to him in a dream. So he was asleep. And God used a dream to speak to Joseph. Now, God typically doesn't use dreams today. Now, I don't lambast people that say, well, God spoke to me in a dream and all that. But I have to admit, I'm a bit skeptical when I hear that. And I've heard some really whacked out things from people sometimes. I mean, I've been doing this a long time now, and it's kind of like, wow, really? Sometimes it's hard to keep a straight face. Okay. And I don't say a whole lot about it because God can do anything. But this is how God speaks to our heart, through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. See, they didn't have it then. I mean, they didn't have the completed of Scriptures. They had the Old Testament scrolls, but I'm sure that not everybody had a copy. I mean, that there was probably a copy in the synagogues, perhaps, where the Jews met. In the temple, I'm sure there was copies. But the average person didn't have a whole scroll of the Old Testament. You know what I mean? And it's not like there was one big scroll. It was a scroll of this portion of Scripture and a scroll of this portion. We have it all put together. I'm thankful for the Word of God. But God used an angel in a dream. And it says this angel saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now, Joseph was in the bloodline of David. Now, that's important, right? Because Jesus, the prophecy, was to sit upon the throne of David, right? So in the family line of David. Mary was also in the family line of David, interestingly. And it says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Man, what a relief that would be. It would be like, what? Oh, good. You know, it's kind of like one of those moments that the light bulb kind of lights up, and then for a moment you're like, whoa, overwhelming, but good. It says in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the way I understand it, according to Scripture, the man was responsible for naming the child. Remember in the story with even John the Baptist? You know, all the people around said, hey, you want to name him something else? Nope, 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 his name is John. You know, he let them know that. So it appears to me that the dad had the responsibility to name the child. Now, here it's a stepdad because we know that God the Father is the true father of Jesus. But he says Jesus. And then it gives us even an explanation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Is there a praise the Lord out there? Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, here's another name. It says, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. A mature, balanced stepfather. Number one, we see a major problem in verse 18, right? A major problem. We're betrothed, but she's pregnant, so there must have been something bad going on. She was with child. As I said before, Joseph was probably heartbroken, but it was of the Holy Ghost. So there's a major problem. You can tell a lot about a person in how they handle a problem. I've always told the boys, they're very good athletes, and they had the opportunity to play in some way, shape, or form, football, flag football, basketball on a high school team and middle school team, and baseball up through about eighth grade or so. They was able to play baseball too. And they're very good athletes, but I've told them quite often that, people learn, and we learn a whole lot more by losing than we do by winning, because anybody can win and be happy. But when you lose and still maintain your testimony, that says a lot about you. So in a similar way, when there's a major problem, and believe me, this was a major problem. It's like, whoa, Mary's been cheating on me, so what am I going to do? So number one, we got a major problem. Number two, we got a just man. It says a just man. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Do you know a man who shows justice? A man who is balanced, you might say. A man who is righteous. A man who wants to do the right thing. Now, we said this morning, was it an accident that God chose Mary and to shower his grace upon her and allow her to be the mother of Jesus? God had a plan, right? And I believe Mary was such, I believe she was obedient to the Lord. And the very end when she says, here I am, I'm your handmaid, the lowest of females are. Here I am, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Let it be to me according to what you said. But Joseph, the same thing. I mean, when God interceded with his angels, it's a package deal. Because you got dad and you got mom, right? You got stepdad and you got mom. And right now they're betrothed. So it wasn't an accident. So, Joseph was a good man. Joseph, you think about it. You kind of feel sorry for him, at least the way his thoughts are going here. Because I get the impression he was a good man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who said, I want to do the right thing. And even in his decision, with his brain kicking in, he didn't want to make her a public example. Now, that's a good thing. That showed that he cared. How people get, this is the way our minds work. Someone does something wrong to me, I'm going to get even. And then before long, sometimes people forget even why they're mad at so-and-so, but it's become, I'm your enemy. And you're like, why? What happened? I've seen this a lot. I've seen this a lot. That people forget who they are and the way we're supposed to treat one another. And it's like, man, what's going on here? Because the human nature kicks in and all they want to do is get even. And they lose all reason. Now Joseph could have been that way and said, you know what? I will make it as public as I can. She's going to do that to me, make a fool out of me. I'm going to let the whole world know what she did. She's nothing but a cheater. And I'm going to let the world know. And, a possible outcome of this could have been that they would have stoned her or killed her for that. Could have been. But you see, Joseph was a just man. He was a good man. He's one who wanted to do the right thing. So he's thinking in his brain, now what can I do? Now I don't think I can marry her because this is just not right. She's cheating on me. So, but I'll put her away privately so that she doesn't lose her life. And even keep it as hush-hush as we can so that her reputation is not damaged any more than it has to be. Now that's a good man, don't you think? So we got a major problem, number one. Number two, a just man. He was minded to put her away privately, that is. Third, we got a thinking man. I like this part. He was a thinking man. I really think one of our problems in our lives and in our country, we don't think anymore. really, we don't think. We just react. And that's a problem. We don't actually sit down and ponder through situations. I know I've said this before, but fairly recently, I was sitting in the chair, and he said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. What are you doing? I'm thinking. I know it's kind of hard to believe this about me, but sometimes I actually sit down and think. And I really think if we would ponder the situation and ponder what God is doing and ponder how big God is and ponder what my next step in life ought to be and ponder, you know, I'm just saying we're so busy. I mean, and this time of year doesn't help matters any, because you have your normal responsibilities, then you throw a bunch of added responsibilities in there too, and it's like, man, life is just so crazy. So I don't have time to think, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that. But here it says, but while he thought on these things, praise the Lord that Joseph was a thinking man. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Now, this is kind of the opposite of being a thinking man, okay? Notice this. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Now, that makes sense, right? Doesn't just react and rashly respond to something. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth what? Folly or mischief. You know, we probably all know people that are very quick-tempered and they're rash. I guarantee you that your normal response after 5 seconds of being berated or said something too bad or whatever, your natural response will not be good. So the best thing to do is just kind of back down a little bit, ponder about it, and figure out how you should proceed, right? How many marriages have been ruined because of rash words? Just like, I hate you. You've never been anything. You're never going to amount to anything. I'm not, you know, just mean things. You're an idiot. You're stupid. We say that to kids when we're upset. We say it to spouses when we're angry with them. But the Bible is pretty clear that we need to control our spirit. And to control our spirit, just stop and think a little bit. Just ponder the situation. I challenge you this week. Just go sometime this week. Sit down and just think about life. Think about your life. Think about God. Think about how good he is. And let everybody wonder, what in the world's wrong? You know, I've never known him to be that quiet for that long. What's wrong with you? I'm thinking, you tell him, okay? But I'm thankful that Joseph was a thinking man. So we have here a mature, balanced stepfather. Number one, a major problem arose. Number two, a just man. He was just, righteous, wanted to do the right thing. He thought he was going to put her away privately, but he was sitting there thinking about it. And when he was thinking about it, guess what? An angel came up to him. Here we have an angelic appearance. It says, behold, the angel of the Lord, not given a name, appeared to him in a dream. Mary had no dream. And notice the angel, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Now, remember the first two words of most angels when they appear to anybody? Fear not. Even in a dream, it's shake you up a little bit, don't you figure? Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Then he explains the situation. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So we see a major problem, a just man, a thinking man, an angelic appearance. Number five, a pair of important names. I don't want to brush over this too quickly. But remember what Jesus means? Jesus means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. Now just think about it. Is that important? And it goes on to explain, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, Romans 3:23, part of the Romans Road, where we talk to someone about the Lord, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're sinners, right? But who saves us from our sins? And then the Bible goes on, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if Jesus hadn't interceded for us, if Jesus hadn't shown up on the scene, we'd be in a heap of trouble. For the wages of sin is death, not just physical death. We're talking about separation from God. But because Jesus came, and then I like Romans 5:8, that goes right along with his name. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful that Jesus, I'm thankful for what it means And I'm thankful that Jesus came, aren't you? That's an important name, Jesus. The second one that's mentioned, it's a big one too, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You know, Emmanuel, it says, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus didn't have to come to this earth. In fact, it's a good thing that I wasn't Jesus because I probably wouldn't have come. I'd say, are you kidding me? To go down to that earth with those bunch of sinners who are going to misunderstand me and try to trip me up in my conversation. They're going to ask me questions to try to get me to say the wrong thing. Of course, they're not going to catch me up because I'm God and the Son of God at the same time. And those same people that's going to beat me, and those same people that's going to pull my beard, and the same people that's going to put a crown of thorns on my head, those same people that are going to nail me to a cross, ain't no way I'm going to go down there. But aren't you thankful that his name was Emmanuel, God with us? And because he came to this earth, he not only paid our sin debt, but the Bible says he's a sympathetic high priest. Because he understands what it's like to be flesh and bones. Because he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. So he understands what we are going through. He never sinned, and we do many times, but he understands us. And he is a sympathetic high priest as an intercessor, taking our prayers to God the Father. So that's a couple big important names, don't you think? Jesus, the Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. A major problem, a just man, secondly. Third, a thinking man. Number four, an angelic appears. Number five, a pair of important names. Number six, and there's only seven, a fulfilled prophecy. A fulfilled prophecy. Notice what it says. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now there was a prophecy. You know, if Jesus didn't fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament, there would be an error in the Word of God. They say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But he fulfilled every prophecy perfectly. Notice what it says back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Notice what it says, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. Jesus fulfilled that. So a fulfilled prophecy, and last point tonight, an obedient decision. An obedient decision. Isn't it interesting? Really, Mary could have said no. We talked about this morning, right? She could have said, no. Joseph could have said, my mind's made up. I'm going to put her away privately. I'm going to be kind about it, but I'm going to put her away privately. Ain't no way I'm going to be part of this. He could have done that. And see, that's our problem. We have the same choice, but too many times we say, no, I don't think so. But notice what he did. In verse 24, notice what it says. Then Joseph being raised from sleep, what's that word? Next word. Three-letter word, starts with a D, ends in a D, and has an I in the middle. Did. That's good, McKenna. You just jumped right in there. That's good. I'll give you a star for the night. From sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Now, again, you got to think this through a little bit. It wasn't like, oh, no big deal. Yeah, the rumors and the people that shun you and the people that would no longer associate with you and all of the people and the names they'd come up with and they're going to talk about your wife that way. I mean, this was a life changer. And how in the world would you like to be the stepdad to Jesus? But I believe he was a good stepdad. I really do. But this was a game changer in the life of Joseph. So don't tell me when God calls you to do that, I can't do it. I don't rearrange my life. No, I can't do that. It'll do this and do that to me. I can't do it. I mean, my goodness. We're talking about the God of the universe. And every one of us is going to stand before God someday. I got news for you. An excuse like, God, I just didn't want to do it, is not going to stand up. God, I just didn't think I could do it, that's not going to stand up. God, I just didn't want to go through all the things I'd have to go through, that's not going to cut it. We're talking about standing before the God of the universe. We're going to stand before him and give an account someday. Not of whether we're saved or not, but I stand before Christians and say, Christian, don't you want to do what God wants you to do? And they're like, I don't know. Yeah, you do. Wrong answer. The right answer is, yes, I want to do what God wants me to do. No question about it. Regardless of what it may cost me, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm thankful that Joseph made an obedient decision. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. It says, and he knew not her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, if the word of God is true, and it is, if the word of God is correct, and it is, if the word of God is without error, and it is without error, guess what? Joseph did not have relations with Mary until after she had the child. So it was not Joseph's baby, it was God's baby, it was Jesus, okay? That's pretty big. And then notice he obeyed in one other area. Instead of calling him Joseph Jr., it says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, but and called his name Jesus. And if you go to Luke 2:21, it tells us, I didn't pull up that reference, but it says that when a child was circumcised at 8 days is when they named it. And he said, name him Jesus. They named him Jesus. So, an obedient decision. I guess as we looked at this guy, mature, balanced stepfather, there was a major problem. Number two, he was a just man. Number three, he was a thinking man. Number four, an angelic appearance. Number five, a pair of important names, Jesus and Emmanuel. Seven, a fulfilled prophecy. And eight, an obedient decision that Joseph made. As we looked at this mature, balanced stepfather, I have just a few questions and then we're done. You say, preacher, I can't believe it. We're really close to being done. Yes, we are. Question number one. Are you a mature, balanced person? Are you a mature, balanced person? You know, if there's one lack that I do see in churches today, and I haven't the whole time I've been in ministry, if there's one thing that I see that's really, really a problem in our churches, we have a lot of Christians who never choose to mature. They never choose to grow up. So are you a mature, balanced person? You know, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, he used that word quite a bit, balance. And I think it's a great word. We need to have balance in our life, right? I see it in the life of Joseph, and I'm thankful that I saw it in the life of Joseph. Now it's time for me to take it and apply it and ask myself, am I a mature person? Am I a balanced person in my life? Question number two, are you a righteous person? Are you a righteous person? Do you choose to do what is right, even when it's not convenient? Are you a person that says, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing in this situation. I'm going to do a good thing. I'm going to try my best to do what I need to do. Are you a righteous person? Question number three, do you act rashly or do you ponder or think about stuff? Let me encourage you. Acting in a rash fashion would have been very detrimental to the Christmas story. But you know what? Acting in a rash fashion can be very detrimental to your life and to your relationships and to the people that you interact with. Now, believe me, we can all be prone to that. But do you act rashly or do you ponder? Do you just let it set for a little bit? Say, you know what? I'm going to mull this over. Let the Holy Spirit guide me in this. And I'm going to think about it. Question number four. When it's all said and done, do you ultimately obey God? When it's all said and done, do you ultimately obey God? You know, this is one of those questions that I can ask the question, but I really don't know the answer in your life. Because I'm not someone that follows you around all day. I'm not the little fly on the wall or the birdie in the window. I don't know. But when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, do you choose to obey God? You know, sometimes that's a tough call. I mean, it's not like, oh, yeah, and everything's going to be great and rosy and everything's fine. I mean, sometimes when you choose to do what's right, there are consequences. You know, I look at people now that work in the secular workplace, and I really feel for you. I mean, as I think, I need to pray for you more because I know you're exposed to stuff and in public schools as well. You know, the whole idea of things that you're exposed to, I probably never was exposed to. I was in the secular workplace, but it's been a number of years back. And what the things you have to tolerate and put up with, But you know what? I still hope that every one of us make the choice. I'm still going to do what's right. I'm going to, regardless if I stand out a little bit, even though I may look a little strange, even though they might come up with a nickname for me, that's all right. I'm going to do what God wants me to do because I'm going to ultimately obey God. I see in the life of Joseph, hopefully something tonight stuck with you and you say, you know, I think I can take that home with me. Question number one, I'll go through them one more time. Are you a mature, balanced person? Secondly, are you a righteous person? Thirdly, do you act rashly or do you ponder and think about stuff before you act? And fourthly, when it's all said and done, do you ultimately obey God? I'll say it again. I'm glad that Joseph ultimately obeyed God. I believe he was the kind of a dad that we'd have liked to have. My dad was a good dad, nothing against my dad, but I think Joseph is a good example in Scripture of someone who thought through and pondered and had balance and had righteousness and wanted to do the right thing. I hope you have that type of balance in your life, that type of maturity in your life to do ultimately what God wants you to do.